In this episode of Podcast Tactics, you will discover how to launch a brand new podcast quickly and easily. Today's guest launched his podcast just 2 weeks prior to the recording of this episode, and he's already growing an audience of loyal listeners. Before we dive into this episode, remember to join the mailing list at podcasttactics.com so you could keep learning how to podcast from other podcasters. Now, let's get into it. Joining me right now is master hypnotist and magician Michael Mesmer from Rancho Cucamonga. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's all my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me as a guest today. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about your podcast. Let's start with that. What's the name of your podcast and what's it all about?
It's called The Michael Mesmer Show. And I sort of, you know, I always loved Paul Harvey when he used to do his old radio show that was just sort of a brief 10-minute kind of thing that you could tune into every day, have a little break from the news of the day and more into interesting subject matter. So I developed the show to be that way. So it's always about 10 to 15 minutes long. And we deal with the incredible, amazing, and sometimes unbelievable, is what I always say. And somehow it always comes together in one way or another. But I like subject matter that takes away from politics and religion. We don't do any of those subjects. It's just so people can take a break on Monday afternoons and have a little fun with Michael Mesmer.
That's awesome. That is my style of show. I love the paranormal. We'll get into that a little bit. Your subject matter is right down my alley. I'm a fan already. Let's talk a little bit about your background. Master hypnotist, magician.
Yeah, I have toured to 25 countries around the world performing my danger magic, where I swallow razor blades and put my hand on a wolf trap. I break an arrow with my neck. But all of those demonstrations, a lot of them work off of hypnosis and being able to control pain. So I'm also a clinical hypnotherapist and a stage hypnotist. So I've done both those. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist. I took 500 hours of training initially from the Hypnotism Training Institute in Glendale, California, under the legendary Gil Boyne, who has since passed away. But he had hypnotized Sylvester Stallone to be able to finish the script for Rocky, because he had a writer's block at one point. He also worked with Dolly Parton and a lot of other stars. But he taught me hypnotherapy. And as I say, I took 500 hours of training and internship. And I currently am the hypnotherapy consultant to the Unger Medical Group in Rancho Cucamonga, California. But I also tour doing stage hypnosis shows and having fun that way, and uplifting people through that show as well and making it a positive experience. So I do all those things, and I'm a ghost hunter, which is a lot of fun. And I write also for Scary Monsters Magazine. I'm a nationally published author many times over with Scary Monsters Magazine, the last great monster magazine.
That's awesome. When did you start your podcast?
You know, just recently, about a month ago, I was seeing how there was this opportunity. I looked into the podcast world and saw that there was a lot of wonderful people involved in it. And I just thought, you know, I've been a guest this month alone. I think I've guested on 18 or 20 podcasts, and I've really enjoyed it. And so I thought, you know, it'd be fun to do my own also, both as an advertising tool, but also just because I have toured the world. I've had so many incredible experiences, both supernatural and natural. And so I've got a lot to say. People have always said to me, you should write a book. Well, you know what? I do love writing, as I mentioned, but I think eventually I'll take all these podcasts and they will become the book, you know?
That's a great idea. That is really good. Let's talk a little bit about challenges that you've encountered creating your podcast. What does that look like?
When I first got into it, I was researching, and so many people were down on, well, I do mine through Anchor, and that's a free platform, which I think is wonderful. But a lot of people are down on it, saying, well, you know, it's free and people look down on you if you do Anchor. And there's a lot of conversation about that in the podcast community. I find it as a wonderful tool. So I overcame that concept. I said, you know, I'm going to go ahead with Anchor. It looks like I can work it. And I've been very pleased with it. But at first, you have to learn to use the tools like with anything in life. When I started doing computers in the old days, we used cassettes for memory. So, you know, that was a while back.
I'm old enough to remember that as well.
I don't think I look that old, James, but I have been around the block for a while. Yeah, so I know about taking your time to acquire and learn technology. And actually, Anchor Technology worked out fine for me. I love the music breaks they can give you and all the things they offer for free, and they're very intuitive. So yeah, it was that. Also, people said to me, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? It's for free. Well, I am monetizing it to a very small, minuscule extent with the Anchor ad, but I'm doing it because I really think it's a great way to tool to communicate. And if you have something to say, it's a wonderful platform. I may expand someday into having guests, but right now I have hundreds of interesting and fascinating stories that I've experienced in my life. I mean, so yeah, it was a challenge, not in the sense of content, not in the sense of I'm uncomfortable on camera or in front of people. Of course, my podcast is only on audio, but I'm very comfortable in all those areas. I guess the only challenge was just getting over finding the right technology, connecting with the community. And I'm really interested in Clubhouse now too. That's another interesting avenue. But I'm really finding it fascinating. I recently started fighting, we'll talk about more, I'm sure, about the COVID issue with my hypnotherapy. And so I also thought that would be another great way to sort of help further that as well.
I agree. Anchor is such a great way to get on and create content. And when you have strong content, nobody's going to ask you, well, what platform did you create this on? You know what I mean? They're just going to know that I'm connecting with this person whom I'm listening to or watching. And really, that's what matters.
And the thing about my content is it's not like anywhere else because it's my life. So my very favorite Beatles songs actually is John Lennon's In My Life, which is Lennon McCartney, but we all know John Lennon did that song. So anyway, In My Life. And that's really how I base my show around is that it's In My Life. And I will always add, though, a current thing. Like you probably listened to one of the recent shows, the recent one I did about what's haunted in Vegas is cursed in Vegas. And on that show, about my personal experience, but I also bring in a current story about something going on with the Dybbuk box and all of that and Post Malone.
I do want to talk about that, but I don't want to spoil it either. I do want people to tune in to your show and download it and listen to it, but let's dive into that in a few seconds or so here.
Okay.
Let me ask you a little bit more about your podcast, if I may.
Sure.
I'm interested in like successes that you've had as a result of putting it out there.
Well, you know, I'm already up to about 30 listeners, which is great. It's hard to transition people into that from when they're used to you on other platforms. You know, I have about 800 people that follow me on Facebook. And that's by choice. I don't really open it up to millions of people because I want to have people that I know that are good clients of mine and, you know, that I want to deal with. So I don't have the mass following because I have people that are all quality or, you know, quantified people that I want following me. But little by little, they'll slide over to it. I mean, it's being able to communicate to them that they're only going to spend 10 minutes of their day once a week and have a wonderful time. And as they do, it's growing. I started with 8 people listening the first week. I'm up to 30 now. So it's coming along, you know, and I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, that's growth. I know that you're new on the scene, so to speak. So am I. But I'm curious, you've got several episodes under your belt. What's some advice that you would give a new podcaster or somebody who's interested in starting one up?
I think one thing is, and this I encountered because I was working with a group and I almost started a podcast for them at the same time. And then it's a board of directors that I was with at this particular group, and I won't mention them. But in any case, I'm on the board of several associations, international associations. And the first thing that came was, well, we want to buy the right equipment. We want to buy the right microphones. I've learned my entire life with anything I do. It's not so much the equipment, it's the person that's using the equipment. You can buy the most expensive microphone and hide behind it, but that's not going to give you talent or ability. Now, when I say talent or ability, that doesn't mean that you have an amazing speaking voice necessarily. What it means is you have something important to share and that you're passionate about. And if you have that, then you have everything. You don't need, I have the little mic I use for my podcast. My wife kindly bought me off of Amazon for, I think, $20. And it's fine for me. I use my phone to do the podcast. And actually, I've had great response so far. I've even used it to audition for other things that I've started work on as well for other possibilities. And no one said, you know, you should use a better mic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the That's the cool thing about keeping it simple, about using platforms like Anchor, right? The technology doesn't get in the way of putting content out there, of putting your message out there. So yeah, I mean, it just makes sense.
And it amazes me with Anchor, when you go into their music their music beds that you use, you can pretty much find something that will work for any section of your show. So there's things in there. It's very basic, like you say. There's not like 100 choices of everything. But again, how do you think McDonald's became rich?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You have a menu with a short set of things, or take In-N-Out Burger. Let's take that. That's even more, unless you know their secret menu. But their menu is only about 8 items, and that made millions of dollars. So I think that's what's great about Anchor. They have 10 choices of music, and they have this, and it's very simple, and it gives everyone that opportunity to be creative within that realm. And you know, there's hundreds of possibilities on how you want to use those music beds and how you want to break up your show and all of that. So it really comes to the individual and their creativity more than the tool set itself.
Yeah, that's very wise advice there for sure. So with your podcast, tell us, why should people listen to your podcast?
Well, like I alluded to earlier a bit, it's because you won't hear some of these stories anywhere but from me. I've literally toured to 25 countries around the world. I've seen some very strange and bizarre things. And I've met a lot of famous stars. Every show won't necessarily be about the paranormal or that. We had, in fact, you heard a show earlier on about the German Expressionist era and Hitler and film and how it influenced him and all of that. And so there'll be different subject matter. I'm getting ready to do a show. I think I'm going to do this for my next subject about the Denver airport, because it's kind of crazy, a lot of stories about the Denver airport. So I'm going to be doing that. I've flown in there many times. The horse statue up front is insane. And I'm going to be covering that. But I'm going to have other stories too, just about like when I spent the day with James Garner, or when I spent the day on the set of Family Affair and went to the sets of Gunsmoke and Gilligan's Island. And when I worked with stars like Jody Messina in country music and opened for her show. So I'm going to have a lot of different stories all the time. It won't be tied down to anything. But like I say, they'll always be unbelievable or amazing or incredible, just in a different way. But yes, there'll be a lot of, I spent a day on the Dark Shadows set in New York when it was on the soap opera. So there will be a episode about that and about how that experience was for me as a child. And then I may even talk about vampires, some current story dealing with vampires, the psychology of vampires. So every show will be unique, and it's only me that can do it because I'm the only one that lived this life.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, you've got a lot of potential content and episodes coming up. That's exciting.
Yeah.
What are your hopes for your podcast in the future?
First of all, by having a podcast, it connects with people like yourself and other podcasters. So it's a good tool in one respect, that it helps me to say, I have a podcast also. And then they're more open to having me as a guest. And the guesting is what really is key to me, in the sense of spreading about my COVIDnosis hypnotherapy program and helping people. So I've got, since I started that podcast, I made really wonderful connections. But also, I think too, it humanizes me. It broadens my story with the people that already are interested in what I do and book me for my shows and want me for therapy. And so it's a good way to communicate every week and just have a 15-minute visit with all my friends every week. So my hope is that my aspiration is to get everyone that already is my friend on Facebook to transition, or at least to include a visit with me for 10 minutes a week and just have a chat about something that was interesting for my life.
That's a really great approach. I love the sound of that. That's really neat. Before we dive into, you know, the episode that I listened to, I do want to hear more about the COVIDnosis that you were talking about.
Well, I am a clinical hypnotherapist. I hold a degree in psychology, and I'm a certified stress management consultant. And as I mentioned, I work at the Unger Medical Group here in Rancho Cucamonga as their hypnotherapy consultant. And so when COVID came along, we're all talking about the physical aspects, about the vaccine and this and that. And of course, there's a lot of controversy about all those issues, naturally. But I don't get into politics. But I will say that there are going to be a lot of psychological issues. And they're caused not just by the COVID itself, but because also the way the media has handled everything, how they've psyched everybody up. And people have bought so deeply into a lot of it that, and I'm not saying that COVID's not real. Don't take me wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it was built up so badly psychologically. Even today, they're still only talking about how many deaths we've raised, the threshold of deaths. They're not talking about how many people have survived, how many people have had it and it's over with them and they're healthy and happy again. They're never talking about the glass half full, only half empty. So forget about the politics part of it, but the end product is a lot of people are going to be, are already and will be suffering the mental challenge of that for many decades to come. And so because I'm a hypnotherapist, I'm positioned perfectly to help people with the key issues, which are stress and anxiety, sleep issues, and then confidence issues, because we've been out of touch with people so much and our emotions have been shut off from others so much. There's so much involved here that to get back into society, to be productive where you were a year and a half ago all over again, is not going to be simple. There's going to be things that will need to be dealt with. So hypnotherapy is great for that. And I'll tell you why it's great for that, James, because it's not like psychoanalyzing someone or any of that. It doesn't take years. I can work with those subjects I discussed with you in four Zoom meetings. So I do four Zoom meetings. The first one is just me visiting with, like we're talking right now, so I get to know you. And then the other three are, the first one's about the sleep, or the stress and anxiety. Second one's sleep. And third one's about the confidence. And I send out audio, hypnosis audios with each session so that you can learn to practice the hypnosis, because it is self-hypnosis. So you know, you do it yourself. I just use my skills to teach you how to do it. So it's a tool you use to learn for your entire life, and it will keep helping you through this mess as we go along. So yeah, I think it's very important work. I'm very passionate about it. And so that's another aspect of why this podcast helps me to connect in a different way with people in a friendly way. And it's what I call the art of selling without selling, because it's not a hard sell. It's selling without selling. You don't have to sell anything if people are fascinated by you and your personality. The other end of it will come along. So yeah, that's why I'm really passionate about it. And that's why the podcast is really an essential part, a prong of making that successful.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing that too. You know, it's definitely needed. Let's talk about an episode. I did listen to What's Haunted in Vegas, Curses in Vegas. You know, from the get-go, I mentioned it before, your content is right up my alley. Again, I don't want to give anything away. The actress that you were talking about on that, I believe it was Enterprise, I remember her. I did not know that she had passed away.
Yeah, very sad for her, because she was an up and coming actress and was doing really well, and she was on her way up. So it was, yeah, it's very sad. But yeah, I'm a big Star Trek person, and actually I've worked about a year ago, I worked with both Jonathan Frakes and his wife, Jeannie Francis, autograph event. And I worked with them as their person that kind of took care of them for the day and took care of their money and all of that. And it was really fun working with Jonathan because, you know, he's so current as the director of Discovery and also the Orville. He's directed a lot of that. But he's a great person and so friendly and kind. And my daughter was working with Gates, Dr. Crusher that day too. So we spent the whole day with them and Bill Shatner. Shatner was eating pizza next to me. And he was talking about Vikings. Bill Shatner's really into Vikings right at that point. He was interested in the history of Vikings, how the Vikings became to be. And he's an interesting guy. But yeah, we had a great time that day. But also, I will tell you that Gates' favorite episode of Next Gen which is Star Trek, The Next Generation, for those who don't watch Star Trek, is one called Sub Rosa, which was the best ghost episode ever of Next Generation. So when I wrote I did a thing for Scary Monsters where I wrote a story for Halloween all about many of my ghost adventures. So I included that along with the story that I told on the podcast about Miss Waymeyer and meeting her and then that situation. So it all ties together. But yeah, that was an interesting thing. I mean, that was great because at that time I was not ghost hunting. I was not a paranormal investigator. So it just happened out of nowhere. And you know, having come out of the experience, and this lady's talking to me that I recognized her, but I didn't, because she didn't look like she did exactly on the show, you know, not in uniform and all that. And so when she told me she was working on Enterprise, I'm like, that's fascinating. And then her just kind of being gone. But like I said, it wasn't like, oh, disappeared. It wasn't like smoke, because there was an entrance to the hotel right behind us. So I, she just walked back in, because it was very cold out. The wind was blowing. So I didn't even think anything of it. And then 3 hours later, seeing her in this current Star Protect magazine when I got home from Vegas, and there she was, and she had been dead for almost a month.
Yeah,
that was insane. I mean, yeah. It blew my son and I to this day. It gives us chills. It was insane.
The way the story is presented, it's definitely, chilling, you know, compelling. I loved it. The same with the story about the women in the elevator.
Yeah, that was crazy too. I mean, they were definitely full body. That was, I think that in fact is the only time that I personally then, and with Miss Waymire, that's the only time I ever saw a full body spectral image, you know, spectres. And I've been chasing that ever since. But, you know, it's funny, when you chase it, it's very hard to find that. But when it just happens, it's natural. You know, I haven't told this story yet, but the reason I got into a lot of this was because when my grandpa, who was a coal miner in West Virginia, and so he had supernatural experiences. And I think that's been passed down to me. One time he was in the mine. I don't think I told this story yet on my podcast, but he was in the mine, and he was, you work for the company. So you live in the company built places, you paid the company store for your food. It's just like that Tennessee Ernie song, 16 tons, if you ever remember, you might not remember it, but in any case, that was his life. So he was in the mine one day mining, and they had mules and a canary on it with them, because that was their technology then, to know if they were safe. So anyway, an angel, he said it was an angel, appeared to him in the mine and told him he needed to leave immediately. And of course, you just didn't do that unless you were really sick. You didn't do that because your family depended on those few dollars that you would receive to get back to the company store every month. So he left. He trusted the angel. He left. There was an explosion in the mine, and everybody died except for him. And he came back that afternoon. All of his fellow miners were laying along the ground, and all the family members were picking them up to take them home dead. And so he was the only one that survived that, because that angel appeared to him. So I think some of that energy has sort of flowed to me. And I think the reason most people never connect that way is they don't open themselves up to the possibilities. That's not saying you believe in anything. It's not like religion or something, but it's just being open to other possibilities. And mm-hmm. if you are, life is pretty interesting.
I agree. Absolutely. I think people, you know, I think people have a tendency to go through an experience like that or of some type like that, and then they dismiss it. You know, the rational mind kind of, you know, they try to reason it out, you know, and that wins, right? I think it's probably for whatever safety reasons or, you know, survival reasons or whatever, you know, like, or, you know, they don't want to look bad.
I think also that everybody, especially the media, it develops a lot of skeptics mm-hmm. and skepticism and negativity. Even the cartoons on TV, I mean, you know, when I was young, we had fun cartoons, and things could happen. The Roadrunner could, I mean, somebody could run off a cliff and they'd float there and they could run back.
Yeah.
There were things that kind of inspired you. Now you have things like The Simpsons, where they're just telling how adult parents are idiots and things like that. You don't have things that open people's imaginations. We have the video games, but in a large extent, those video games now, they steal all the imagination, because mm-hmm. everything's there for you. You no longer have to exercise that part of your mind that imagines. So if you don't have that imagination factor and you have that skepticism combined with it, I think we're not experiencing what is out there and what's really amazing in life.
So speaking of possibilities and in the paranormal, you visited Zach Bagans's haunted museum. I'm just going to say I'm a Ghost Adventures fan. That story about the Dybbuk box. Yeah, good. Tune in for that one.
That's interesting. You know, and again, it could be a combination of a lot of things. You could have, you know, what happened to Post Malone, maybe absorbing some of that energy. It could have affected him psychologically. And some of that is some of his, you know, the curse part of it could be part of that. But, you know, when tires blow on an aircraft and when people break into your house, that's not caused by you. And when that all happens within such a short period of time after being exposed to such what is considered a very haunted item, you know, and in that museum, let's face it, it may not have been the Dybbuk box, it could have been just any exposure. Because, I mean, they've got insane stuff in there. You know, the guy that they based Silence of the Lambs off of in Hannibal Lecter, they have his boiling pot where he actually boiled people and took their skin off. And they, I mean, it's insane stuff. He's got a haunted dolls galore, some of the main ones that you've heard about. He's got just all of those things in there, and the Michael Jackson chair from the deathbed, and Liberace's piano, and a lot of really odd things. Like I mentioned in my story, my daughter and I love the Bela Lugosi mirror, because of course scrying and looking into mirrors and looking into the future in mirrors has been something that's been around since the Greek era. And so if anything captures someone's energies, or, you know, spirit energy, I would think it would be a mirror especially. So they have a curtain that's black over it. And when you walk up, they open the curtain. They don't want to keep it exposed all the time, which could be a little bit of theater, but I'm sure Bella would like that. But honestly, yeah. So there's so much in that museum. Maybe the Dybbuk box may not be legit. Who knows? There's a lot of controversy about that, but there certainly is a lot of items in there that are legitimate. And it just bombards you from the moment. My wife, I took her in there twice now. Now she'll never go again, because every time, both times she went there, she leaves and she's very, very ill. It makes her physically ill to be in that museum.
She's sensitive.
Yeah, but yet she goes on ghost hunts with me. She's my best ghost hunt. You can look up some of my YouTube shows. My recent ghost hunt in Texas, I'll be talking about that at some point, was amazing, at the Donkey Lady Bridge and the Devil's Bridge. And so, yeah, she goes with me and she's my partner. She videos all my ghost hunting and helps me with my devices, reading things while I'm doing something else. So she's good with that. But in that museum, it's like a wave of just, you know, it's crazy.
Have you met Zach?
You know, he was there one day and we wanted to meet him. He looked at us and waved, and we waved at him. He was about 5 feet away, but he didn't want everybody else to notice he was there, so we didn't get the opportunity. I would have loved to, because I'd love to meet him. You know, I really would. I love his work. I think he's very good. He sold that in a way, the ghost hunting, in a way that no one else really has ever mastered.
Yeah. Well, Michael, before we wrap things up, you know, I do have one more question for you.
Okay.
Which famous person or celebrity would you be excited to learn that they listen to your podcast?
Well, I've met so many great ones, and I don't want to say this in a negative way. I don't believe it's negative. It's just, there's not a lot of great stars left, or great people like that. I mean, when you've been around, I've had Michael Jackson in my audience, Cary Grant, Princess Grace from Monaco. They've been in my show audiences through my career. I've met Judy Garland. I've just so many people in my life. So the people now, they're wonderful, but they're not quite the same caliber. But I guess someone who I really would have loved to have been in my audience would have been Elvis, but he's gone. But maybe his spirit can be listening to my show sometime. But I suppose I'd have to give a couple answers. Probably Paul McCartney would be one. I love Paul McCartney. I actually met John Lennon, by the way. And that'll be on a future podcast, that story. Yep, back in the 70s. It's a crazy story. I skipped school and ran down to LA at 100 miles an hour one morning when he was on the radio. But anyway, I'll tell that story sometime on my podcast. But I guess Paul McCartney would be one. Chris Angel would be one. I really think Chris Angel is an amazing magician. But really, Paul McCartney. And who else do I really look up to? I love Lady Gaga too. But I think Paul McCartney, that would be the one that I would really be thrilled if Paul listened to my podcast and contacted me and said, "Hey, mate, I really loved what you did. It was gear, you know?" So that would be really cool.
Michael, tell us where people can find out more about you and your podcast.
Well, you know, it's on all the platforms, but most people go to Spotify and they just look for The Michael Mesmer, M-E-Z-M-E-R Show, The Michael Mesmer Show, and it'll pop right up. If you're looking for the COVID Gnosis Therapy, which I really, if you need help right now and you want to reach out, it's very reasonable. It's not super expensive. And it's very, like I say, we do it in four. We can even do one and help you with one to help that anxiety. So anyway, that's at www.covidgnosis, COVIDNOSIS.weebly.com. And then you can always send me an email at hypnomesmer, HYPNOMEZMER, at hotmail.com. And actually, if the first 10 listeners that contact me from your program and mention your name, James, in the subject matter and your program, I will send them a free download of a self-hypnosis relaxation audio.
I'll get that information from you and we'll put it in the episode show notes so that people can grab that.
Okay, great.
Michael, I'd love to keep in touch if that's all right with you and catch up with you down the road.
Yeah, down the road, let's do another show together. We can talk about some more of my crazy life adventures, and I'd love to be on your show again. And, you know, it's been great talking with you as equally, because you're a great interviewer. You know, what makes a great interviewer is what made Johnny Carson so great, and that is a great listener. And if you're not a great listener, you'll never be a great interviewer. And as we talked briefly before the show, there are those that are doing podcasts, some, or not a lot, but there are a few out there that are more about wanting to tell their story than to share the story of their guests. And you do it beautifully. And you really did your research. You listened to my programs. You're awesome. And I know you're going to have great success in the future.
Michael, thank you so much for that. That's very nice of you to say. The name of the podcast is The Michael Mesmer Show. Incredible, amazing, and sometimes unbelievable. Michael, thank you again. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks so much. Have an awesome day.
Thanks again to Michael Mesmer. Check the show notes for links to learn more about Michael and his podcast, The Michael Mesmer Show. I would love to hear what you got out of this episode. Leave a review on podchaser.com to let me know. The show notes has info for how to do this, and feel free to make suggestions for what I can do to make this show even better for you. And make sure you subscribe and follow Podcast Tactics to learn even more about podcasting in future episodes. Thank you.